In preparing for this sermon, I thought, where do I need encouragement? Where do I need to hear from the Lord regarding the situations, the issues, and the relationships I find myself standing in the midst of? Andrew Smith, who was with us for the last four Sundays, shared with us where God was and is during the lows that King David had from 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. So as I pondered this question, or these two questions, the overwhelming thought came to me: perseverance. So, in preparation for this morning's sermon, I did a word study on perseverance. Now, in case you're not familiar with what a word study looks like when it comes into relation to studying God's word, a word study is, I find the word perseverance, and then I grab my really big, thick concordance. For those of you who still use books, I know we're the old crew, but there are these books called concordance, and it has listed in that book the word perseverance or persevere, and then it gives every verse in the Bible that has that word in it. Now, I, of course, decided that I was going to shorten my search to the New Testament, so I looked at the occurrence of the word perseverance or persevere in the New Testament. Then I decided to take those verses, look at each of those verses, read those verses into context to see how that word is used, and then from all of those now synthesize a lesson on perseverance taken from God's word. So today, that's what you're going to get. I decided as I went through Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to launch from. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to open them to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you that it contains life in introducing your Son Jesus, the Savior of the world. It gives us guidance for daily living. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that resides in it. We ask now, Lord God, your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us as we study the word perseverance as we find it in your text. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we begin here in Hebrews because the writer uses perseverance. Perseverance is a noun. Persevere is a verb. So we want to have a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. For those of you who are English, you're like, duh. For those of us who are science, are like, wow, that's an amazing thing. So I'm a science guy. It's a thing that someone can accomplish. Perseverance is a quality that one can acquire through continually persevering. When you persevere, you have and gain perseverance, a nice character quality. So in the book of Hebrews, many believe Paul to be the author of Hebrews. And this here is kind of one example of why we think Paul might be it, because Paul was known in his letters to use metaphors, sporting metaphors, boxing, running, racing, and here we see a metaphor of the foot race. It's an example of where perseverance is given in context of a foot race. I want you to notice the characteristics of this race. First, there's a direction. The race marked out for us. The writer, Paul, here says, we have a race, we need to persevere in that race, and there is direction. The race is marked out for you. Now, my daughters ran cross country. Some of the cross country tracks that they would run had to have little flags, so they made sure they knew where they were going to go. We remember going to one race in Folsom where they actually had to do little chalk arrows because, you know, when you're running 2 miles really, really fast, you kind of forget where you are and you need that big arrow to say, go this way or, you know, make the left turn. Just in case that wasn't enough, they had little flagmen to, you know, that way to them. So we notice here in this passage in Hebrews 12, with the race that we need to persevere from, there is a direction. There is a race marked out for us. My race is not going to be the same as your race. However, it can be. We are now in the race of finding the next senior pastor for Twain Hart Bible Church. So in that sense, we are corporately in the race together, and we have elected the search committee to help us guide and get direction in that race. Notice secondly about the event here. There's goals. So there's a direction, the race marked out for us, and then there's a goal. The goal number one, which isn't implicitly stated, but that's to finish the race. We know beforehand, Paul, when he's getting ready to die, I have run the race, I have kept the faith, I have done what I was supposed to do. So the first thing we don't explicitly see, but we understand if there's the race metaphor, there is an end to the race, and you need to run the race to finish the race. Number two, we see that the goal is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We are Christians, followers of Christ, follower of Jesus the Messiah. We are to cast our gaze on him. If we remember his word in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we know that the disciples had an opportunity, Peter specifically, had an opportunity to walk on water when he kept his eyes on Jesus. Of course, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink and panic and freak out like all of us would in that situation, and called out to him, and he grabbed him, put him into the boat, and everything was peachy after that. Well, at least for that one little scenario. Notice also, we finish the race as a goal, we fix our eyes on Jesus, and then we're going to consider Jesus' attitude. In verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. For me, this is where I see we are to consider Jesus. Well, what are we to consider about Jesus? We're going to consider his attitude and his actions. Because when we consider Jesus' attitudes and actions, notice what the rest of the verse says. So that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. When we consider Jesus and we remember that Jesus was the humble servant, the suffering servant who came to give his life as a ransom for many, we as his followers should find encouragement. We should not lose heart because Jesus went through and persevered in that race. So there's a direction in this race. There are some goals in this race, but there's also opposition. There's also opposition. Notice earlier on, we see the opposition in verse 1. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's not an opposition unless they're opposing the team. They're an opposing team and they're heckling you as you are going through. But it is, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Here's where our opposition comes. Two areas. Throw off that the things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off everything that hinders us. Those are the things that we put on ourselves. Those are the external things that we put on. Paul's saying, throw them off. It's hindering you. Why do you carry the cloak when you're running cross country? You should have the cute little shorts and the tank top. You don't need to take a wool jacket. Take it off. Run lighter. But that's an external thing that we sometimes put on ourselves. what you put on yourself as far as obligations or additional anxiousness or worry might be different from what, you know, my daughter, my wife, or someone else puts on theirs in their particular race. But then he also says that the sin that so easily entangles, that's the internal things that we all deal with. Romans reminds us that we are all sinful. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Praise Jesus, that's why he came, so that we might be reunited with him. We are not good people by nature. We want to do wrong, bad, selfish things. And Paul here, in the perseverance of this race, throw off the things that you put on yourself, but also pay attention that the sin that so easily entangles and is going to trip you up, pride, selfishness, greed, watch out for those oppositions. A simple Google search for persevering gives a wide array of stories that make the heart feel good. These illustrations of perseverance are not just from sporting events, however. Business. Let me give you a couple from business. Starbucks founder Howard Schultz, for example. Did you know, before he started Starbucks, he tried to get a loan to start his coffee house? He went to a bank to get the loan. They said, "Nay, nay, we deny." He went to another bank. Denied. He went to 10 banks. Denied. He went to 242 banks. Denied. He had to find three people, a doctor and two friends, to loan him the $400,000 that he needed to start Starbucks. As of 2010, he employed 137,000 people. That's 11 years ago. He had 16,850 Starbucks stores in 40 different countries. From 1987, he added a Starbucks store. He added two Starbucks stores daily from 1987. Howard Schultz is now worth over $3 billion. You got to wonder what those banks are thinking. Shoot, we missed that one. Well, what about Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken? He started KFC at 60 years old. He took his first Social Security check and decided, "I really like my chicken. I'm going to make it finger-licking good." And he worked from the age of 60 to 73, mastering his technique, the secret recipe, and growing his business. At 73, he sold his company for $2 million and then was able to rest in the comfort of not knowing he had to rely just on his Social Security check. Well, what about the area of science and technology? NASA sent a rover to Mars, the Red Planet. Now, in case any of you are sci-fi people, let me recommend C.S. Lewis' Space Trilogy. If you haven't read it, do it. It's really interesting. You know, it's kind of fun, actually. Out of the Silent Planet, Paralandra, and That Hideous Strength, for those of you who are sci-fi geeks. And geek, I mean geek in the best sort of phrase. So, NASA named the rover going to Mars Perseverance. The goal was to see Mars habitability, to look for microbial life, to collect samples, and to prepare for future human missions. Perseverance is a character quality produced in those created in the image of God. We observe perseverance in sports, business, education, science, and even the arts. I mean, the arts, think of ballet, some serious perseverance there. Try and stay on your tippy toes for an entire movement of music, etc. Persevere is the verb, and it requires action. So we know perseverance is going to require some action. We persevere in the middle of a situation, issue, or life circumstance. And once we travel through the situation, issue, or circumstance, perseverance is produced in us. Perseverance, according to the world, is seen as mental toughness. You work hard, you work long hours, you set goals, you control your stress, you practice self-awareness techniques, and you plan for contingencies. These make you successful. And generally, when the world says successful, that means you have a lot of money, like Mr. Starbucks Howard. Perseverance in the world is generally related to personal success, financial success, honor, or power. In the world system, one often perseveres because one has a passion for something. Our passion motivates us to be successful. There's a wonderful Progressive Insurance commercial that I just love because it pokes fun at passion and how people are using the word passion. In case you haven't seen it, Flo, the lady with the little, you know, wand thing, she visits her sister Janice living in her new house. And Flo, of course, wants her to bundle up her house insurance. And Janice is in there riding her exercise bike. And as she's riding it very slowly, I know many of you are mountain bikers here, and she's just slowing. And she's like, you know, I'm blasting my quads as she's doing this and texting on the phone. And she says, cycling is my passion, as she's chewing her gum. I laugh because kind of that's what they're thinking. Hey, if it's your passion, you can do it. It's your motivation. That's what will get you through. Throughout Scripture, we see perseverance is a character quality in a believer that will have in their arsenal that says, who I am as a child of God. We notice in Revelation 2:19, that not only is perseverance a characteristic of an individual, but it can be a characteristic of a church as well. Revelation 2:19 says that Thyatira is known for its perseverance, its deeds, its love, faith, and service. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Paul boasts about the Thessalonians church perseverance through persecutions and trials. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. You got to go back to the left a little bit. Romans chapter 5. We know that perseverance is an individual characteristic for the believer. It can also be a characteristic describing the church. But here in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. But according to Romans, I have to endure suffering. For perseverance to be produced in my life, suffering is going to be involved. I love that God's Word tells us like it is. It's not watered-down narrative here. The world narrative is usually a little bit different, right? Oh, it wasn't suffering you had to withstand. There were obstacles that you need to overcome. Or there are hurdles that you need to just jump over. Or there are setbacks that you just need to plow through. Or maybe bumps in the road that you can either jump or navigate around. Suffering, friends, produces perseverance. There are a couple other items that produce perseverance in us from Scripture, and we're going to look at those in just a minute. But flip, if you would, over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we're going back to the right. 2 Peter chapter 1. and verse 3. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape in the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Here we see that perseverance, as described in the Bible, comes through Christ's divine power being manifested in our lives. It's not what we can do by our own power, intellect, or our own intuition, but rather it is Christ in us that gives us strength and motivation to persevere. In his list of character qualities given to the believer through Christ's divine power for love and life and godliness, we see at the very end a connection to love. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, the love chapter, love is described, it says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love is what perseveres. It moves us through. Love is the foundation to get us through the suffering that we endure. Not our passion, the love enables our perseverance. Scripture gives us a couple more of ways that perseverance is produced in our life. We know that suffering produces perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 12, where we began, if your Bible is like mine, it has a little title at the top of it, God disciplines his sons. And in verse 11, we see of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Suffering produces perseverance. God's discipline produces perseverance. And in James 1, 3, we're reminded that tests of our faith produce in us perseverance. So here we have three ways to have perseverance produced in our lives. Through suffering, we aren't too excited about that, but we know from God's word that we have been called to suffer. Secondly, we know that God's discipline can lead to perseverance. But we also know that God's discipline is for our good. He wants us to repent, to come back to Him, to turn from the direction we're going and move in the new direction, the new course that He has for us. And then a test of faith. Do you believe that I am who I say I am? So, where's the happier side of perseverance? It happens when you are through the situation or issue that has produced perseverance in you. When you look behind and you reflect back, that's where the happiness is, because then you realize God was with you. God was guiding you. God was directing you. God's love was ushering you through to persevere. Scripture reminds us, should we become consumed by the suffering, the tests of faith, or God's discipline in our lives, that perseverance is also rewarded. The rewards of perseverance can be found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, where it says, we receive the promise of God. Another reward for persevering is in James 1, 4, where we become mature and complete. In James 1:12, there's a double bonus of rewards for persevering. The first thing that James 1:12 says is that we will be blessed. And the second thing is that we will receive a crown of life when we persevere. So how do we apply our application to perseverance? Number one, you just got to need to identify. Am I undergoing suffering? Am I undergoing God's discipline? Or am I undergoing a test of faith? Am I undergoing suffering? Is there a physical body is wearing out, and so I'm physically suffering? Do I have relational strife with my spouse, my children, my coworkers, or friends? Am I suffering trying to live out my faith in the marketplace, being persecuted for the views that I have on God's word, the views that I have on the world because of God's word, the views that I have on what's taking place because of God's word? Am I suffering because I'm attending a church in the middle of a senior pastor transition and I don't get to hear the same preacher every Sunday? Oh, it's real. It's real. Am I undergoing God's discipline? And I know that I should be doing that, and I know that God is prompting me to do that, but I don't really want to do that, so I'm kind of doing like Jonah and saying, no, I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't want to go there. And he's like, you need to go there. I'm going to have a fish eat you and spit you out, and you'll smell like, you know, puke the whole time. So are you under God's discipline to which you need to repent, seek forgiveness, and chart the new course? Or are you undergoing a test of faith where you need to rely on God being Jehovah Jireh, the provider? Once we've identified our life circumstance, we can kind of overlap the grid we found in Hebrews chapter 12. Direction. We know we've identified what's happening, suffering, God's discipline, or a test of faith. And now, direction, God has marked out a course for you. Sometimes you can see the whole course, but often you can only see up to the next flag or to the next arrow where you need to go. Focus on the day. Jesus reminds us not to worry about tomorrow, because he says tomorrow will worry about itself in Matthew 6:34. So we're reminded to have direction, and then we go back to the goals that we saw in Hebrews chapter 12. Finish the course. It develops perseverance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And then consider Jesus' attitudes and actions. Don't grow weary or lose heart. And remember the oppositions. Throw off the externals, which you put on yourself, which may hinder you along the course, and the internal sin that so easily derails us from the course entirely. So, I'm going to leave you with some guided practice. In preparing for the sermon, I asked the Lord, where do I need to hear from you regarding the situations, issues, and relationships I find myself standing in the midst of? So I identified that I am standing in the midst of a test of faith. In his wisdom, God allowed camps to be closed in 2020. Now in 2021, camps are reopening to share the good news of Christ and his saving power. Do I have faith in God's provision to supply the workers I need to serve the campers coming in this summer? My direction. God has opened bringing children and youth to Jeunesse Park for Center Kid and Center Fuge in July. The course I'm heading down now is to supply staffing to work behind the scenes so that Christ can be preached with as few distractions as possible. I have 25 summer staff that I need to hire. I have 7. I was given 3 months to hire them. So if you know an 18-year-old or more that wants to come live up at camp, send them to my website or, you know, talk to me and I'll shoot them the information. But this is a test of faith for me. My new owner said, hey, when would you have started this before? I said, November of last year. And they're like, oh, they are helping. My goal, God has set forth the direction. I have direction. I have the course marked out for me, the goal, to finish 5 weeks of camp, feeding, housing, and serving the camper adults, sponsors, and staff. I keep my eyes on Jesus, knowing that He will bring to pass the changes in life He has ordained for the summer. Many students make salvation decisions for Christ at camp. The opposition that I face, the sin that so easily entangles my selfishness and my pride. I got to do it. I got to make it happen. And the Lord's like, whoa, yeah, not really. I'll take care of it. You have to be the vessel. You have to take the course. You have to follow the direction. We do have goals to set, but I'm going to take care of it. I need to have the humble attitude of Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve. The external hindrance that I need to throw off is the knowledge that many other businesses are coming up short on employees as well. Even though it seems there's a shortage of workers, my Lord knows who needs to be spurred on to work in ministry this summer. I need to be faithful and diligent to continue on the course, but God will provide, and I know that. Perseverance, suffering, test of faith, God's discipline. We want to be known as believers with that noun of perseverance as a character quality in us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for your Son Jesus and our salvation in him. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to look at what it means to persevere and to gain perseverance as a character quality of one who follows Christ. We know, Lord, that suffering produces perseverance. We know that tests of our faith produce perseverance and that your discipline produces perseverance. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us that acts as the foundation that gets us through. We pray, Lord God, for your blessing to be upon us this day. We thank you for your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.